I said, "I hate you," in 2 months. And so I saw her, I call her Darlene. I said, "Hi, Darlene, how's your summer been?" She looked right at me and said, "I've cleaned a lot of toilets, Mr. Mayor." So thanks. That's like I was at the University of Essex. I was doing a full seminar for Arab World Ministries, and I walked by this table. All the missionaries were staying in these dorms rooms. There was these little English and Dutch children who were all sitting together with little white cherub-like faces. And as I walked by with my tray, I heard in this real beautiful, perfect English accent, "That's him. He's the one." So evidently, things had changed just very rapidly. They all looked at me. That's him. Well, the one thing I discipline all the children for, and the only thing I would discipline them all for, is for arguing or fighting with each other. Because one of the things Eleanor and I wanted our children to do is grow up to be best friends with each other, which they have. When you die, who's going to stand with your child at the funeral if not their brother or sister? When, after you're dead and there's a tragedy in their home, whose home will that sibling be welcome in if not for their brother and sister? Who will stand up for them in life when you're old and infirmed if not their brother and sister? So one of the most foolish things children can do is pick and argue and fight with each other. And if they do that, it's because you as a father have not intervened. That was not allowed. That was disobedience the first time. And what we would do is I would just line them all up on the couch and go down and spank them all. And then they would all have to hug and kiss each other. And you know, General MacArthur said, allies are people with the same enemy. So that you could be the enemy and they will become best friends. So let me tell you 2 stories about that. We were in Stillwater and the playroom was upstairs and I could hear the kids arguing and fighting. And I just called out from the kitchen, "I hear a fight." And they knew what that, they could hear the drawer open. I got the wooden spoon. And when I got up there, they were all sitting around playing with dolls, Sam included, and Becca. And I looked up and I said, "Was somebody fighting?" And they went, "No, we're not fighting." So what happened, Megan and Lizzie were fighting. But the other two knew that they would get spanked too. They would either get spanked for not intervening in a sibling conflict or for being entertained by a sibling conflict, both of which is foolishness. So that was great. Did that bother me? No, and so I left. And I'm sure I could have said, no, wait. Megan, let her have, here, you can have this. Here, Megan, Sam, here, Liz, I'll give you that. You can play with my slide. You can play with my calculator. Just wait, he's coming. Oh, hi, Daddy. So isn't that what you want? Okay, fast forward 10 years. Becca's senior year, where we've had a little argument about a party we want to have, she wanted to go to. The seniors go to this place out by the lake where they burn logs, and it's kind of their last senior thing before they go on to dinner and then the senior prom. But in the last few years, they've gotten kind of wild and they're starting to be drugs and drinking there. So my neighbor, who's a constable, said, "Well, you know, we're going to have about 10 squad cars show up there all at once, and we're going to be towing cars and taking people away. So I know your child's a good kid, and I know it's something that all seniors do, but we're kind of passing the word to a few select parents. Don't let your child go." So I thanked him. But Becca said, "Oh, you don't trust me? You think I'm going to be involved in that? Everybody goes there. I'll be the only girl not there." And I said, "No." And she had really not had kind of almost a shouting argument with us in a long time. And finally she said, "Well, it's a family car, and I'm a member of the family, and you can't stop me from going, and I'm going." And she walked outside and slammed the door. And Ellen said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, sweetheart, I'm not going to go out in my front yard and have a shouting match with my daughter. Now, if she drives off with that car, for $25, I can have all the locks changed out tomorrow." And that's when my wife gives me this look like. So, but she didn't say anything. She said, "Okay." And just then we heard. And Sam, who was upstairs, we have kind of an upstairs playroom that has an open deal so you can hear what's going down in the living room, was upstairs studying with his door open and heard this whole thing. That was him running down the stairs. And he had his Bible with him. And our front door is like that and has two kind of long, narrow windows by either side so you can see. And he was out there talking with Becca. And she was talking with him. She was being very animated. And pretty soon, Sam had his Bible open. I could see him and sharing a verse. And then pretty soon, Becca was she was crying. And then Sam sat down the hood of his car, and I could see him talking with her very earnestly. And Becca sat down the hood of the car next to him, and I saw her kind of take his hand. And then they stood up, and I could see him praying, and then they hugged. And then Sam just came in. He didn't say anything, went up to his room. A little while later, Becca came in, just said, "Well, you know, I really wasn't honoring to you, and I think I should be able to go to that party, and I think you're wrong for not letting me, but to honor you, I won't go." Well, that's all right with me. Do you like to do everything God tells you to do? No. Well, are we wise obedient? But you know what, men? You don't get two children who you allow to fight and pick each other and call each other cruel names when they're little. You don't just all of a sudden transport them to having that kind of relationship. See, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will wound you for the rest of your life. Kerry Clark, a missionary to Mexico, taught me that. And the wounds that you allow in the petty bickering and picking of your children, those wounds will scar that relationship for life. So don't allow them. Now, in closing, let's turn to Chapter 11, Projects. And we'll close with this.
Can I ask just a very quick question?
Uh-huh.
You're talking about discipline all from the same conflict.
Right, only in conflict.
Some of them are older
than the spanking age. Then they get their discipline. Okay, Lizzie, put your hands on your cheeks. Megan, put your hands on your cheeks. Becca, go get your work clothes on. You're going to weed the garden. Sam, go get the rubber gloves and the sponge. I want all the toilets clean. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Yeah, well, y'all are fighting. And you know, we don't fight in this family. I don't fight with your mother. I don't shout at her. Your mother doesn't shout at me. We are on each other's side. We're all Mayans. And this is just how we live in this house. And so if you guys want to fight, you have all that energy to fight, there's lots of stuff needs going on around here. So that's fine with me. I didn't want to wash the car anyways. That's what I'd tell them. Say, "Hey, I didn't want to weed the garden. Thank you." Okay, turn to Chapter 11, Projects. Now, the Bible speaks of children as children, but it talks of adults as being sons or daughters. Are you able to make that transition? The Bible says children are to obey, but sons and daughter are to honor. Can you make that transition? As your child enters the late teen years and goes away to college, with Sam, I don't expect Sam to obey me. I don't expect Megan to obey me. She's a senior. I expect her to honor me. Children are to be under control, the Bible says. But adults are to serve God with a glad heart. Are you willing to make that transition? You train children. You counsel adults. You nurture and bond with children. You let go. You allow adults to leave. Children obey quickly the first time. Your teenagers and your college students need to think through and make the right decision. When Sam decided to change his major to biology, from biology to history, and join Air Force ROTC, and he said, "When I get out of the military, all my bills will be paid for, and I'll either go to seminary or law school or into government service." And I said, "Well..." And he told me, he really prayed through and thought about it. You know what I said? I said, "Sam, well, I'm really proud of you to be able to pray through and make a decision like that. That's what we raised you for." Now, if he had asked me an opinion, I would have given it to him. But do any of you guys like people butting their nose in on decisions that you've made that you feel like you've prayed through? No, not unless there's something at stake. And we want our children to acquire convictions and lifestyles. We want adults to apply convictions and lifestyles, and that takes some freedom. You know, I've noticed that adults give themselves permission to treat their wife and children in ways they would never treat anybody else. If you use the same kind of emotional manipulations and raised your voice or rolled your eyes or used the sarcasm with any other woman in your Sunday school class that you use with your wife, would you be welcome in any home in your church? Why is it that you treat your friend's teenage children with more respect and dignity than you treat your own? Why is that? I have a friend whose child had started to drink, and I just told him up front. I said, Jose, I'll call him Jose. Jose, it's too bad this child isn't a pagan. I said, why? He said, why? And I said, well, if he was a pagan, you would try to win him through friendship evangelism. But since he's your child, you're about to kick him out of your house. Jose, too bad this kid's not in your Sunday school class. Because if he's in your Sunday school class, you would pray for him more fervently and hope to win him to the Lord. But since he's your child, all you do is holler at him and want to kick him out of your house. So what we have to remember, we have to begin thinking of our children and treating them the way we treat other people's teenagers. Who deserves to be treated with more dignity? Your teenager or your friend at church's teenager? Or you treat your teenager? So that's just a passing thought. Well, time's up. I want to thank y'all for the time that you've given me to do this. I hope...